Let's bow for an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we have the opportunity to gaze upon the sunset once again here at Campfire, we just pray that the speakers and the special numbers and all that is done and said tonight will be uplifting and encouraging, but most importantly, Lord, will glorify you. We're just so thankful to be here at Warm Beach Camp. We're thankful for this opportunity to sing praises to your name outdoors, to sing as loud as we want, and to fill the nature with the words of praise, Lord. We just pray for a blessing upon all those who are presenting, or performing, or testifying, whatever happens tonight, Lord, that you would just speak through those words and touch the lives of everyone here tonight. We just thank you and praise you again for all that you have done. In your name, amen.
Good evening. I assume I'm supposed to be up here now. I didn't get a cue or anything.
Yes.
So, yeah, good to go? Awesome. I have to say, it has been a blessing for me to be here, first time at camp. And it's been quite the journey, because it's also been the first year I got to be a chaperone on youth choir. And it wasn't hard. I would say the hard part was being away at my family at some times. And so I got to see him a few days here and there when we got to meet up. But youth choir has been such a blessing for me. It really helped me re-spark a lot of good memories I've had when I was just a young believer, first gave my Lord to the life, and how he used me, and just the things he's been doing in my life. And I don't want to say I hate to see it end, because it's not over, right? I've heard on youth choir a few times, like, oh, this is almost over, and then we all go back to our lives. And my prayer is, for those who are still here, it's not over. Like, take what you've learned on youth choir and continue it as you go into your homes and into your workplace, wherever you go. So I've chosen this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you guys want to turn there with me, and I'm going to give a little preface why I chose this passage. So in youth choir, we had made a stop into Oregon, Portland, Oregon, specifically. And for me, it was quite the adventure, I can tell you that. So we did a little tour of Portland, and as most of the youth choir went on the kind of like shopping sprees and got to see downtown, I already told myself, I've already been to malls. I've been shopping before, not my kind of thing. Some of you might have heard this story already, but I want to share with you why I chose this story, or passage really in particular. So I didn't go on the shopping sprees. I did check out one store, Melanie's, because I like outdoor stuff. I'm an outdoorsy guy. And Melanie's like, oh, there's an outdoor store in Portland. So I was like, all right, go check out that. Went in there, was an outdoor store. They sold like cowboy boots and hats and stuff. I'm like, oh. Close. Close, Melanie. Not quite there. So I was like, well, this is Portland, so off I go. And so as I went out from that store, I prayed to the Lord, and I had tracks, and I said, Lord, just guide me. Like, wherever you want me to go, whoever you want me to talk to, I'm here. I'm ready to obey your command and do your will. And so as I was walking Portland, I started kind of in the inner of downtown, and got to have a couple conversations with some people, and then I started kind of getting to the outer rim as I was making my way out. Then things started getting a little weird. I don't want to mention fully what I saw, because I think, there's children here, it'd be kind of inappropriate. And I know that might be funny, but it was really disturbing what I was seeing downtown. And there was one instance where, I was down an alley and some guys were selling drugs, like out in the open. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then the guy who bought it, would start doing it out in the open, right? It was like nothing. And then, got to talk with some of them. And as I made my way around, I stumbled upon a homeland encampment, which I'd never been to before. And the funny thing about that was some lady thought I was a cop, right? She goes, officer, officer. I'm like, I'm not a cop. I don't know if it's the mustache or what it was. But I turned around and I was like, what's up? And she's like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, well, you stopped me, so here we go. Like, you're about to have a talking to, right? So we start talking, and, I share with her my testimony. And you can see she was troubled, and she was missing some teeth, and there's people around her just doing drugs, counting drugs. I've never seen people count drugs before. That was a new one for me. And then when I left, I was walking up to towards back the center of downtown, towards a, it was like an old building. I forgot what it was called now. I keep forgetting. But it was like a, what was it called? It's okay, yeah. Anyways, I was walking towards old like main building downtown, and I was feeling like super heavy, like in my spirit and in my soul, and I just felt like so just down and discouraged, and like I was upset with like city council. I'm like, are you guys blind? Like, what's going on, God? Like, I don't understand this, right? And I was walking across the street, and as I got to this building across the street, I hear kind of like a speaker going off, right? And as I got closer, I saw this guy. He was just standing by this light pole. Some of y'all might have met him out there when we were in Portland. And he had scripture playing from the speaker. And I was like, oh, this is so awesome right now. And so I went across the street and leaned up against the light pole, and the speaker was just on the ground there. And then I felt like, oh, just relieved from like everything that just happened to me downtown, and the people I talked to, and the crazy, just, I don't know how else to describe it, but wickedness that I just saw, right? Like, just saying it for what it is, it was just wickedness. And I just, again, just felt super tired from that, and just disturbed. Let me adjust this. Thanks, bro. Can I just hold this? Is that not right? Yeah. And the man came up to me, and he saw my tattoos, and some of them are Serbian. I used to be a Serbian fanatic in my past life. And he asked me, he's like, are you Russian? I was like, no, I'm this guy from Ohio. I'm not Russian. And I told him, you know, my family's Serbian, and I got the tattoos in my former life. And then I explained to him what I was doing there, and I was traveling with the youth choir and you know, try to spread the gospel in the city of Portland. And I told him how I was feeling, like really heavy and like just kind of distraught, right? And he goes, man, like, let me pray for you, right? In this like thick Russian accent. I was like, yes, please, like, pray for me. That'd be great. And as he was praying, his prayer was so powerful. And like, it literally, like, we were hunched over, and as we were praying, like, I just felt my back like kind of straighten up. I'm like, all right, like, you know, I don't know what how this is working out. And when he was done praying, I just felt just this renewal of like just peace and just this power from the Holy Spirit just like fill me up. And I just couldn't do anything but give the guy a hug. I'm like, thank you so much. And then he gave me a business card, and on it said, be reconciled. And after that, I just thanked him so much for his prayer. I really felt rejuvenated. And then after that, I was trying to find Melanie, because she had like all the tracks. I ran out. And we were supposed to meet in a at a mall there. And I went inside the mall, couldn't find her. I saw like all these fancy Gucci stores and stuff. I'm like, well, this is dumb. So I couldn't find her. Turned out and walked out, and I saw these two guys just sitting on the curb, right? And I just want to make something really clear here. I was not like this at all. This is not, I wouldn't be doing any of this in myself, right? Like, there's two guys sitting on the ground, and I really felt the Spirit just convict me. Hey, why don't you sit down and have a conversation with them, right? This is crazy. It's like, well, all right, I'm going to sit down and have a conversation with these guys. And as we were talking, one of the guys was sharing kind of his life story. He was kind of out there. He talked about how he met like seven gods and all kinds of stuff. It was really interesting. But I listened. I gave him the time of day and probably listened for about 10, 15 minutes. And after he was done, I was like, hey, can I share with you my thoughts and my story? And I did, and I shared with him my testimony. And he was really intrigued. And then, long story short, because I can be long-winded, I gave him that card, be reconciled to God. And we prayed together, right? And after our prayer, from what he professed, he told me, you know, you really just led me to Jesus. I don't know how to take that. I was like, okay, man, but he was illiterate, right? And so he couldn't read. He's like, well, what do I do? Because I can't read. I'm illiterate. I said, find God's people. They'll take care of you. Okay? I was like, I got to go because, you know, Melanie called me like pretty shortly after, or I think it was before that. And I was like, the bus is leaving. I should probably get out of here. And so I was like, hey, man, God be with you. And lo and behold, the other guy actually started praying too. I guess his name was Timothy, I remember, and he kept saying, yeah, like, find God's people. I'm like, all right, like, I'm leaving this up to you, God. So, and then I had to book it, right? But let's get into Timothy. Not Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain in your conscience. For we are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here, and this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So I want to preface, before we have a sharing of a testimony, on verses 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. There will be two testimonies that you will hear tonight, and I really want you to pay attention. The old has passed, and the new is come. When we are reconciled to God, our former life is gone, and he wants that for every single one of us, especially those who don't know him. And with that, I would like to call up Melanie.
Hi, my name is Melanie Sherman, and I go to the Portland Church, for those who don't know me. I'm up here because I think the Spirit wants me to share with you, and I'm a little afraid to actually be up here, so for some reason. So anyway, I could use some prayer. Last year in the spring, I said a prayer to God, and I asked him if, for three things. I asked him if I could have a better relationship with my husband and my adult children, because he didn't know how to do that for some reason, and I was asking God to help me with that. I asked God to help me to have a better relationship with my church family, because I didn't know what I was doing wrong, but I didn't feel like I had a real great relationship with my church family. And I also asked him if I could have a deeper relationship with him. And I felt like I had a really good relationship with God, but I wanted it to be deeper. And I said that to him. I want it to be a deeper relationship. And could you lead me in that? So a couple of months later, I got COVID in July with my family, and they got well and I didn't. And it looked like I was getting well, and then I had a setback, and then I had all kinds of complications. And I'm not going to go into all that unless you want all those details. But through my suffering that was out of my control, that was really hard for me, because I was a doer. And I like to be in control, and a doer in control who's now out of control and can't do anything because you're so weak and tired and so many things are wrong with your body. And so it was a really scary time, and it's kind of hard for me to talk about sometimes. But through that, God led me to a Bible study called Keys to Health, Wholeness, and Fruitfulness. And it's by Freedom in Christ Ministries. At first glance, you might think it's a health and wealth kind of gospel, but it isn't, actually. It's a Bible study to teach how you can have health in Christ even though you're not healthy, how you can be whole even though you're sick, and how you can be fruitful for Christ and minister for his name's sake even though you're not well. And God really led me through that in the video series and the testimonies in this Bible study that I was doing at home, and really spoke to my heart on many, many levels. One of the things that was really important was knowing who my identity in Christ was. Through this Bible study, there's a list of lies that Satan convinces you of that you renounce, and then you claim who you are in Christ. And there's all these scriptures that you say out loud. And I did that every day for 40 days because they encourage you to do that in this Bible study. And through that, the Lord revealed to me a lot of lies that I had been believing for a while. And it was revealing to me why my relationships were maybe not as close as I wanted them to be. And I was really grateful to God for that, because through the suffering and sickness I had, God answered my three prayer requests. I feel like I do have a closer relationship with all of those people. The interesting thing is, if you would want that list for the Identity in Christ list, it's called Who I Am in Christ. I would be happy to share it with you. Just ask me. It's very powerful if you read it. And I learned a lot of scriptures that I now memorize, and I say them out loud when I feel that the enemy is attacking my mind. And my favorite verse, and I might cry, but anyway, I call it my Wonder Woman moment. So you know how Wonder Woman spins, and she goes from this normal person to this really strong, powerful superhero. So when I'm feeling really weak, or I feel like Satan's really attacking me, or I feel like the old Melanie, which I call the pre-COVID Melanie, is starting to get into my head, I say this verse out loud, and it's 2 Timothy 1:7. And honestly, it is amazing how God uses this in my life. I actually will feel strength go into my body when I say this verse out loud. Anyway, it's God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit, or he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. And some verses say self-control. And so whenever I feel like any of those things are a little bit not the way God wants me to be thinking, I just say this verse out loud, and I say, Satan, leave me alone in the name of Jesus. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. I am your child. And Satan leaves. He leaves me alone, and I am transformed into someone who can think and make rational decisions again. And so I'm really grateful for God for that. Something else through this Bible study that taught me was that I might not get well, and I need to be okay with whatever God has for my life. And I got to a point where I completely submitted to the Lord, and I said, if you want me to suffer like this for the rest of my life, for your honor and glory, I will do this. Just as long as I can continue to share with people about Jesus. Now, this was really hard for me, because some days I really struggled with sadness. Some days I was on a couch all day, or in a recliner most days, actually. Or in bed. There were days I was sleeping on my bathroom floor because I didn't have strength to walk to and from the bathroom. There were some amazing days where I would worship God so much that I would exhaust myself, and then I'd be too tired to do anything else the rest of the day. But it was, praising God was my, gave me my peace and my joy, even though I really had pain all over. The interesting thing was I got pneumonia in May. And that would seem like that would be pretty awful on top of my long COVID everything. But actually, when I got pneumonia and had a 99.3 temperature, I felt better than I had with long COVID, because all my long COVID symptoms went away. In that time, I just had a new naturopath doctor, because all my MDs that I had seen, which was five different ones, said they didn't know what to do with me. And they said, if I kept asking him, can I go to a naturopath doctor? They said yes. So I found this new naturopath doctor. That was a God thing. I won't go into that story. But anyway, she said, I don't care if you have pneumonia. I want to see you. We'll do your intake anyway. I had had a blood test taken weeks before I met with her, and she had the results. So my very first intake, she knew what was going on in my body at that time at the end of April, and we could talk. And she revealed to me that people with chronic fatigue syndrome, when they're given the pneumonia vaccine, will sometimes heal. And I was lying down because I'm on double antibiotics for pneumonia, and it wiped me out. But the whole appointment, I started crying. And I said, do you mean that out of all the viruses on the planet, God let me have pneumonia and I could heal completely? And she said, yes, that's what I'm telling you, but I don't want you to expect it. Then we got a call asking us to consider being chaperones on youth choir. I'm in the middle of pneumonia. I don't know what's going to happen on my long COVID. And so they asked us just to pray and let them know in a week. So when they called back, Wilf and I both had a piece about it, but I was just healing from pneumonia, and long COVID still wasn't returning. And there was a lot of symptoms with long COVID I won't get into all. So I still didn't have long COVID returning. 2 days before we got on a plane to go to Phoenix, I saw my naturopath doctor, and I had walked to my appointment. And I walked in the door, and she said, did you walk here? I said, I did. She goes, come in here and tell me what's been going on the last month. And I was able to share with her how I had been grocery shopping, and I had been gardening. And I had been doing so many things that I haven't been able to do in almost a year. And I was so excited. And she gave her full approval for me to travel. So I would just want to praise God, but I want to share with you just three verses that were really precious to me in my time when these verses were what were instrumental in helping me accept that if God wanted me to physically be unhealthy for his honor and glory, that I was willing to do that. It's from Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20, and many youth choir members got this verse written into their little affirmation book. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment and all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. And my lot at that time was illness, and God wasn't making me better for a long time. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. And I had thanked God for the wealth he had given us to be able to have good medical care, for the possessions that we had, for the power to enjoy them still. And I was willing to accept my lot and rejoice in my toil, though it was hard at times. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. How many people want to be occupied with joy in your heart so much that you will not much remember the days of your life? Isn't that a great verse? That's verse 20. And that was me. And I said, Lord, I will stay on this couch and recliner, and I will just keep rejoicing into you until you give me all the strength I need to do what I need to do. And to the glory of God, I can walk up and down these steps, which I wasn't able to. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that I can do now that I wasn't able to do, and I thank God for that. Thank you.
The song's called Steal Back Your Joy. Been living in
living with the lights out, seeing by the light of the moon. We've been walking like blind men, but there's a dawn that's breaking soon. Like that snake's taking all that it can take from you. So go on, steal back your joy. The destroyer's plans are all that are being destroyed. And go on, take back your life. Death's the only thing that's dying tonight. If the thief comes to steal your flame, well, go on, take it back again. We've been living in hospitals, waiting on more bad news, holding on to a hope we'll get through these waiting rooms. And you feel like that snake's taking all that it can take. That's the only thing that's dying tonight. If the thief comes to steal your flame, go on, take it back. Ooh. Destroyer's plans are all that are being destroyed. And go on and take back your life, 'cause death's the only thing that's dying tonight. If the thief comes to steal your flame, if the thief comes to steal your
thank you, Sister Melanie and Brother Johnny. Something that stuck out to me when Sister Melanie went up to share, she came up and she said, "I'm up here, but I'm afraid, and I don't know why." And like, I can resonate with that because honestly, I'm not a public speaker. You can probably tell. But I've been asked to help facilitate this bonfire and a class actually, and what really sticks out to me, if you read it in Second Corinthians 5, chapter 4, or verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all." And I think it's because of that love that Christ has for us, for Sister Melanie, for me, and for anyone else that stands up in front of you. Like, it compels us, it controls us. Because we love you so much, and we want to come up here and share what God is doing in our lives. And for those of you who don't know Jesus, like, it's that same love that brings me up here right now. And my prayer is that he speaks to you tonight. for the remainder of the evening, I'm going to share my testimony, because Brother Richard asked me to. And again, I'm not a good public speaker, so forgive me, but I'm going to do it because I love you. And I learned that it's not just my testimony. It's really not my testimony. Honestly, it's just what God has done in my life. So this is just really a testimony, what Jesus Christ has done to me, Adam. And he does that for every believer, right? It's his story. And I've learned in going out and sharing that story, it has been a powerful weapon, a powerful tool to help others to see the life of that Christ has for every single one of us and how we can be reconciled to God. But before I begin, just really quick, I do want to keep that theme of joy going for camp, right? And actually, joy was a huge part of how Christ used people through joy and helping me see the light, to see the truth, right? And you'll hear that as well. But another thing I also want to bring out, and I think it's very important, if you go and if you have your Bibles or phone app that has Bibles in it, go to 2 Corinthians 5, starting at 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do know so longer. And really, I want to make the point, especially to believers, it is so important of how you view Christ in your life. Because how you view Christ is what your life is going to end up being and looking like to others, right? And people will see that, right? I just want to do a quick, running out of time, a quick thought experiment, though. Just really quick, I want everyone, if you can, to close your eyes, and I want you to picture Jesus. Just really quick, close your eyes and just picture Jesus. Who do you see? What do you see? You can open your eyes now. And I think this is really important because earlier I was in the prayer, not temple, room here, and I seen this photo of what they said or what they portrayed as Jesus, right? And it's like this blue-eyed white guy and like nice blonde slick hair, and I'm walking past, and I'm like, probably not. You know, like that's just not what I see when I think of Jesus. Right? I'm going to share later how I view my Lord and Savior and how he compels me to love and why he compels me to love. So really quick, I just want to get into my testimony. Forgive me if I go over, please. And just let me know if I just need to, you know, start cutting it off. But it really started when I was 16 years old. I grew up in a church family. I'm very careful when I say that because in that family and really in the church, there was a lot of strife and a lot of struggle. And I say this not to condemn the church or not to shed a bad light on the church. It's just the reality of there was struggle back then. And a lot of the struggle was from disagreements of, and the matter was of my parents getting married, right? My dad had a former life, and after he his wife ended up leaving him, and after he was baptized, he wanted to get remarried. And the church decided, or they said no, and some people said it was okay, and there was this big thing. And the church split up, and all I saw was arguments and just drama and gossip, and that stuff carried into the home. And I remember at a young age, I was like, if this is what Jesus is, if this is what God is, I don't want anything to do with it. Not a thing, because I saw all the turmoil that was in the home just because of the misrepresentation of Jesus, right? And so I stopped going to church around 16, 16 and a half. I wasn't in school at the time. I was doing charter school because in the turmoil of the home, I developed a really bad relationship with my dad. And mom was kind of rocky too, mostly with my dad though, right? Like he really wanted me to be a certain way and I could not fit that mold at all, right? He wanted me to go to church and be like those people. I'm like, no, look at those people, what's going on? Not for me, right? So I stopped going to church around 16 and a half. I would just stay at home. Didn't go, again, to public school. I went to a charter school because of my bad relationships. I just hated school. I just hated life in general, right? And my parents really tried sheltering us from worldly friends, too. And I remember just hating it because, like, we were so far away, really, from everybody. And then when we would visit our cousins, they thought, oh, they're safe with their cousin. And, you know, they can hang out with them. Lo and behold, you know, cousins may not be the best influential friends you might have. Anyways, I digress. So got all F's in high school, I remember, my ninth grade, and was just not doing well in school. I started dabbling in drugs, and I remember my parents had moved to Santa Clarita by Valencia in California, and they wanted me to put me in a school there, a really nice school, but I remember them rejecting me because, like, my grade average was pretty much like a 0.2 or something like that. And then so my parents were like, all right, like, what should we do with this kid? And so they put me in a charter school. And I don't know if you're familiar with charter school. It's just like a place where you go to take tests when you do your homework at home. It's kind of like homeschool, but I wasn't homeschooled. And so it was a weird thing. But I got to work at a young age. So I got a job at Vons, and which is a Safeway, I think up here. Started working there, started making friends at Vons and at work, and slowly kind of just really just integrated myself into just really the world. And my parents, I don't know, it was still rocky. I did have my own vehicle. I remember buying Mercedes when I was younger. It was a 190E. It was like 1998. It was like a piece of junk, but I thought it was the coolest thing, right? And so I was just doing my own thing, hanging out with friends, and, you know, doing the party life. And that was going on for like about a year. But then I started kind of just not liking it. I guess it got really bored for me, right? And, you know, every weekend it was the same thing. You know, parents were upset with me because I wasn't going to church. And then I was running around chasing, you know, girls and partying and just running amok of my life. And then, like, it just got really tiring for me. And I remember one day, me and some of my friends, we were talking about it, and they kind of had the same feeling. They're like, yeah, like, what should we do with our lives, right? Like, we had no direction. And I remember I asked one of them. I was like, hey, why don't we go into a recruiting station and talk to a recruiter and join the military? And they're like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, right? So we're like, all right, sweet, like, let's go do it. So I remember one day we went into a recruiting station in Santa Clarita, and I had no experience about the military. All my parents come from Eastern Europe, and you know, they migrated here a while back, and it's just no military experience or knowledge whatsoever, right? So I just walk in, and I went into the first office I went into that I could see, and it was an Army office. And my other two friends, I remember, for some reason, they kept going. They walked into a Navy one, right? And so I remember going in and talking to a recruiter, and this guy told me everything I wanted to hear about myself, right? He said, yeah, you're going to join the military. You're going to be cool. People are going to respect you, right? You'll be in shape. All the girls will be over you, and you'll have purpose, right? Defending your country. You're going to carry a gun, right? He kept going and going. I'm like, yeah, like, this is what I want to do with my life, right? This sounds pretty good. I got some purpose going, right? Because I really didn't have it in my other thoughts. I do remember, though, I did aspire. I did want to become a chef, but again, I was just so tired of, like, just the life I was living currently and just bad relationships at home. I was also constantly getting kicked out of my dad's house, couch surfing. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with couch surfing. It's where you go to friends' houses and you sleep on their couch because their mom was nice enough to let you in and she felt bad for you. So I was doing that for a long time, and I was like, I can't be doing this. And so I really thought about the military, and I was like, you know what, that's the route I'm going to go. And I remember I told my mom one time. I called her up and said, hey, like, I'm really thinking about joining the military. Like, I'm just tired of the life I have here at home. And that's the direction I'm going to head. And she did not like that at all. You know, she tried convincing me just not to do it. And, you know, dad tried talking to me and the way he knew how, and just maybe kind of push him away farther. And in their mind, it was, you know, a tradition they had, like, oh, like, we don't take up arms, this is our faith, like, you're dishonoring, you know, your grandparents, this and this. And to me, it meant nothing. Why? Because I saw, again, what the church had done and all the drama there was. And then also the sin of my own life was just also taking over, right? All that pride and just the life I was living. So the combination of all that, I was just like, nope, I'm gone. This is what I'm going to do. And so I ended up joining the military in 2008, and I remember the night before I left after MEPS, which is a military, like, exiting processing station you have to go through before going to your basic training site. They have you stay at a hotel, and I remember my mom called me, like, one last time. She was, like, crying and like, just so upset, and, like, she was trying to, like, talk me out of it, and like, I felt bad for that moment, but my mind was set, like, sorry, Mom. Like, if things were different at home, like, I might have stayed, but I didn't. And so, joined the military, went through basic training, and got out of basic training 6 months later, and got attached to my first unit in Fort Hood, Texas, where I was attached to 710th MP Battalion. And we were attached to 3rd ID at the time, which later became 82nd Airborne. And right shortly after I got to my first post, we had started training to go to Iraq. And it was exciting, you know, like in the Army and you know, playing soldier, really. Like, I didn't know any better. I was 18 and a half. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. And we're doing all the training. And to me, it was just so exciting. And I remember as a kid, like, I always loved guns and just like cowboys and Indians and those toy soldiers, which ironically, my mom would get me. But anyways. And then I remember at one point we were training, and then we all got called in. And I remember First Sergeant and the captain were there and says, hey guys, we got a change of orders. We're actually not going to Iraq. We're going to Afghanistan. And then, like, I remember, like, the feeling of, like, oh, okay, like, stuff just got real. Like, you know, because Iraq was kind of dying down in 2008, 2009. But Afghanistan was still kind of a hot spot. And everyone was kind of just like, all right, like, let's train up and go, you know. And some, we all had mixed feelings about it. And so our training kind of shifted. And then I don't want to take too much time because time's already up. But long story short, we deployed to Afghanistan in 2009, and I don't want to go into a lot of details, but what I can say is on my last mission that we had is we went to go check out a school, and I remember everything was fine, and on our way back out, we were traveling in these roads that were too heavy for our trucks, and our truck got separated from the rest of the column, I remember, and just a quick side note, if anyone's here thinking about the military, let me tell you this. The worst thing is leadership. They can either be super high speed or super ate up, right? Mine was super ate up, and he decided for whatever reason to leave the convoy and go on the outside of the city because he was too scared to go through it. And so on the outside of the city is where we were traveling on this little road, and the road collapsed. And my job, I was a turret gunner in Afghanistan, so I took care of the truck from the top just in case we got hit or ambushed or into contact, whatever it was. And so as the road collapsed, I remember the driver tried overcorrecting it, and the truck went up this like mud wall, and it flipped over and it crushed me and took a huge chunk out of my rear side right here. And the turret shield just like sheared it off and like just took all my skin and a lot of meat off. And I remember after the first initial roll, it's just so vivid in my head, I thought for sure I was going to die because I felt all this pressure coming up from my leg up into my head. And I thought, this is it. Like, I'm about to get crushed by this truck and die. It was so fast it happened. And all of a sudden, the truck flipped over again down this hill, and it flung me out. And then I just laid there. And next thing you know, I kind of come to, and I just remember all this pain down my right side. And then the rest of the convoy comes and checks up on us, and because they were calling for help down at the other truck. And they come in, and they were trying to stabilize me, and they call for a 9-line. And the pararescue jumper man came and stabilized me and got me to Bagram Air Force Base, which is now ran by the Chinese. Sorry. Quick side note. Thank you, Biden. Crazy to think about. Sorry. It was just amazing. From there, they stabilized me, and they sent me to Launchville, Germany. And from Germany, they sent me to Walter Reed. And Walter Reed, I have 11 surgeries on my right leg. And at first they were talking about removing it if it got like really affected. I remember just like, no, let's not have that happen, please. And thank God, like the surgeons there were just amazing. And they were able to restore my leg, and they had a ton of skin grafts done. And after therapy, I was able to walk again after about 2-3 weeks. And then from there, they sent me to Brooke Army Medical Center. Now in Brooke Army Medical Center, there's a few spots. Brooke Army Medical Center is one of the places where a lot of the wounded warriors go to kind of recover and heal. And it was there where my actually darkest moments, even I would say even worse than Afghanistan. And mostly for the reason was a lot of guys were just really messed up mentally. And, you know, I've had friends, you know, come into there and just missing limbs, just not right psychologically, just really messed up. And I remember, like, it got so bad to a point where, like, guys were just killing themselves, like, left and right, and just overdosing on pills and drinking. And this was the thing, too, like, the military, we didn't know any better at the time, but the VA was just passing us drugs, painkillers, like, it was candy, and, like, everybody got hooked. And it worked, right? Like, the pain was gone, and the mental pain kind of just left, but, like, still there was, like, this darkness there. And then I remember one night I was just so frustrated with, like, where I was at. And I didn't have a good relationship with my family. I stopped believing in God. The military had to move on. My unit did have to continue mission. And I was there crippled, right? I felt just so useless. And then at first I was thinking maybe I can do something with my life. And I started, you know, thinking about school, maybe this and that. And one thing that always intrigued me was, like, astrology and stuff and astrophysics. I thought maybe I can do that. And the more I got into it, I remember looking up some of these guys' these theories and stuff.
Two minutes.
This might be a little bit over 2 minutes, but please forgive me. Anyways, all those theories those guys had just didn't make sense. It was always a dead end in the road, right? And so I remember one night I was like, you know what? I'm just going to kill myself. Why not? Everyone else is doing it. And so I remember going into a closet in my barracks room and, like, just putting a belt around my neck. And I thought, you know, I couldn't really go through with it, right? Because I kept thinking about my mom. And how much she always loved me, even though, like, things weren't the greatest. But I remember even sometimes, like, when Dad would kick me out, she would, like, leave the door unlocked for me to, like, sneak in and sleep in my bed once in a while. And, like, Mom was kind of always just, like, there. And she already had lost a child before, too, when we were really young. And so I was like, I can't do that to my mom. So I went out and just cried out to the universe, what I thought was the universe at the time. Something, please help me. And it's going to be really hard to finish in 2 minutes, but long story short, my mom calls me up shortly after, and I remember her telling me, hey, your aunt's getting baptized in Fresno, California at Clovis Church. That's where she was getting baptized, and hey, why don't you come over or come out and see if you can participate. And I knew in the military that you can use a religious excuse, which is what I was thinking, right, to get out of whatever you were doing there, and you got to take some leave, right? So I was like, I didn't think much of the baptism, but I was like, I'm getting out of here. So I used that as an excuse to leave Brooke Harvey Medical Center and just to get out of that dark place. And I remember going back home, and they approved my leave, and I saw my aunt get baptized. I remember for the first time at her baptism date hearing a sermon about sin, right? And the preacher talked about sin and how it destroys our lives. And, like, for the first time, I actually started listening to sermons. When you're a kid, you kind of just, you know, off in space or drawing underneath on the bench or whatever kids did. And I started listening, and it started kind of resonating with me. Like, okay, sin, destruction, like, this makes sense. Like, I'm pretty hurt right now. And I saw my aunt get baptized, and, like, I was so happy for her because, like, she was so, like, joyful and, like, happy. I was like, all right, like, that's pretty cool. Like, why not, right? And then that week I got to spend time with my cousins, and then the last day, the last Sunday I got to spend before I had to go back to San Antonio, I had heard a sermon about sin, or not sin, about Jesus Christ and how he came and died for our sins. And I remember sitting in the pew, like, wanting to cry, like, break down. And I was like, why would this person, Jesus, die for me? Like, he didn't even know me that long ago. Like, just didn't make any sense. But for some reason, I felt guilty. And I wanted to cry, and, like, I was kind of teary-eyed, but, like, there was, like, this choking feeling in my throat, and, like, all these voices in my head, like, ah, don't cry, like, you're a man in the military, like, men don't cry, and, you know, I'm just like, I don't know, like, there's something to this. And I didn't end up crying, like, full-blown, but, like, just really all these emotions were stirring up in me at the moment. And then after that, my mom takes me to the airport from the last service there, and I remember getting to the airport, and we said our goodbyes. And I got to the counter, and at the counter, I gave the lady, I remember, my orders to go back to San Antonio, and I was like, yeah, I need to go home, here's my orders, like, I need my ticket. And she's like, sir, your plane left yesterday. I was like, what? What do you mean yesterday? Like, there's no way. Like, I gotta leave, like, to now, because I need to get back home, or I'm gonna get in trouble. And she's like, well, we can't do anything. Like, your plane left yesterday. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, what am I going to do? So I remember calling my NCOs, and they're like, hey, don't worry about it. Just get the next flight over. And they were able to get me a flight the next morning. And I was like, yes, I don't have to go back to San Antonio, Texas, because I hated it there. And so I call my mom. She swings around, picks me up, and she takes me home. We didn't go back to church because one of my uncles was staying over. And so she wanted to go home and like prepare a meal for him and get the house ready because we're going to have like a meal with him and one of my cousins. And so that evening we had this meal, and I remember sitting around the table, and I remember, you know, he was just having a good time and telling all these awesome stories about like his mom. And he was just so like joyful and like bubbly. And I always kind of made the joke, like the Apostolic Christian Church had a Santa Claus, that dude was it, right? He was just so jolly in a sense, right? And just full of joy. And I remember like sitting there and staring at him, and I was so mad. I was like, why is this man so happy? Like, why is he so joyful? And I'm sitting here on the verge of suicide. I'm so ate up, and like, I'm about to destroy myself. Like, why? And then, like, a few minutes later, I remember after thinking that, like, it's like slowly God was just pulling a curtain from underneath my eyes. And I'm like, maybe it's because he has Jesus and I don't. That could be the issue. So I didn't verbalize anything, but then I remember we had a good night. Mom takes me to the airport next day. I'm trying to speed this up, I promise, God. Please forgive me. And I remember going back home to, not back home, but back to the base in San Antonio. Checked in with my NCOs. And went down to a place that was like a gazebo in the center of the barracks where all my buddies were at. And I remember going there and meeting them. And they were like, oh, Adam, welcome back from California. Like, did you smoke weed? Like, what'd you do? And I was like, no, man, I went to church. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, I went to church. And then I started talking to them about Jesus and how, hey, like, maybe this is something that can help us out because we're so messed up and hurt, right? And the funny thing is you think when you bring good news, right, you think people would be like, yeah, that's good news. Like, that sounds like it makes sense. Let's do this. But that wasn't the case. When I started sharing to them how, hey, maybe, like, Jesus can help us out, they actually started getting very upset with me. And it got to a point where I was, like, trying to convince them. And then all of a sudden, I remember, like, the first guy stands up, and he had his right leg blown off, right, one of my buddies. And he had his prosthetic on, and, like, he was kind of drunk, and he wanted to fight me. And then the other two guys get up, and they were just cussing me out. I'm just like, what's going on, you know? And then all of a sudden, like, it just hit me, and I was standing there, and it was like I was looking at three mirrors, right, three different mirrors. And I saw myself in every single one of those guys. And I remember, like, just I felt so, like, sad and sick and, like, in despair. And I'm like, wow, this is what all my choices, all the sin in my life have brought me to. And I was just so afraid. And then I told him, look, you guys, I'm sorry. Like, forgive me. I didn't mean to cause any offense. And, like, you know, I was sorry, right? And they're like, hey, forget about it, no worries. And so I left, and I went up to my barracks room. I remember for the first night in my life, I actually prayed, and I got down on my knees, and I repented of my sin, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was from there is where I told the Lord, I remember when I was praying, I said, Lord, I was a soldier for man's army once. I want to be a soldier for you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I actually slept that night for the first night. I had peace in my life. And I remember I woke up the next morning, I said a prayer, and I prayed for two things, a Bible and a guitar, and God provided those for me. It was amazing. And I remember walking outside, and like literally like my whole life changed. I was just filled with so much joy and so much peace, and I was just like, all right, God, let's do this, right? And my encouragement for all of you today, especially for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, and if you are struggling, if you are hurting, if you maybe have gotten the wrong view of Jesus, he loves you so much, right? And I'm telling you, he is real, and he is there for you. Like, I've been there, done that, trust me. I've been around the block, so to speak. There is nothing else out there that is true, truer than Jesus Christ, right? And it's only through him you can have peace. And I want to come back around to the first thought I had of the view of Jesus Christ. Who do you view of Jesus Christ in your mind? For the believer and the unbeliever. Because I'm going to read to you really quick, and I know I got to wrap up, but please bear with me. I'm sorry. Yep. I know I got to wrap up, but please bear with me. Just two thoughts before I give it over to Will for a closing thought and prayer. Oh, we're doing one song. Sorry, Scott. Scott, Wilf, prayer, close.
I could save it for Saturday.
All right, thank you. So really quick, do you remember Joshua when he was about to go to battle to Jericho? And he was going to blow the trumpets. But before then, he met someone out in the wilderness. And hold on, my NIV version is saying it's offline. Give me a second here. And there was an angel of the Lord there, right? And so when the Bible references to the angel of the Lord, it's really speaking about the second person of the Trinity, which is Jesus Christ, right? And I remember Joshua saying, hey, who are you? Like, are you for us or are you against us? Right? And the angel said, what? He said, no, I'm a captain of the Lord's army, right? He was with the Lord, right? He was with God. And I'm like, okay, like for me that just resonated. I remember reading that so well. Like, God is Jesus Christ, he's a captain. A mighty, powerful captain of the military, and he gives commands, right? And so he, like, that's how I view Jesus in some respect. He gives me commands. I also view him as a loving God, right? He is full of love and mercy. But the warning is for those of you, again, who have a false view of Jesus or just are rejecting Jesus, he is coming back as that same commander. He is coming back as that warrior. And let me read this to you, found in Revelation really quick. I wish cell phones had bookmarks, but they don't. Bear with me. Revelation 19? Here it is. 19:11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and his name is written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, are following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress in the fury of the wrath of God and the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is so important to me. Again, this really resonates with me because he's a commander of a great army. And yes, he loves you. Yes, he wants you to be reconciled with him. But you have to repent of your sin. For those of you who don't know Jesus, because when he returns, it's not going to be a PC Jesus or politically correct Jesus or a hippy-dippy Jesus or someone who you might think just might be okay with all of your sin. No, he's coming, and he's coming soon, and as a warrior, and he's going to stomp out all that is evil, all that is vile for good, and we'll finally be able to be at peace with him for eternity. And as for the believer, too, like, what is your view of Jesus Christ, right? Like, for me, and I know for some of you here, like, he's that same captain, right? He's that same awesome, reverent God, and we obey him because of that and because he loves us, right? This is important. This should be exciting you, right? And, like, I think the church is struggling so much right now because we have such a small little view of who God is. And we need to change that. And so my prayer, again, for the non-believer and the believer alike, like, we have to be reconciled first with God and have the correct view of him. So my question for you tonight is, who is this God that you serve? And for the unbeliever, please, like, if you want to get to know him, talk to any of us. Like, we would love to talk to you and pray with you and so that you can be reconciled with him. Thank you. And I'll just call it Wolf to have a closing thought and a prayer.
Father, as we stand before you, we want to acknowledge you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you for how you work in different people's lives. We thank you for the courage that you give them, both to speak and to act according to your will. We pray that the examples that we have heard about tonight would motivate each one of us, whether we know you or whether we don't. Father, we pray for your Spirit to continue to lead us and guide us, to convict and convince us of who you really are. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.